We've been dealing with these last few weeks about suicide. And I hope it's been something that's very helpful to you because we are all surrounded with people who go through depression, they go through anxiety, they go through guilt that will cause them to want to end up taking their life. As I begin to do, I've done a lot of reading on this subject of suicide, and to be honest with you, it can be quite depressing as you begin to go through those things and begin to hear story after story of individuals taking their life. Jalen made it aware to me about a week ago because, you know, since we are talking about this, she's been more aware of situations. And she said, "Dad, have you heard about the 12-year-old boy in Utah that took his life?" And I said, "I haven't heard that yet." And he took his life, I believe it was about eight or nine days ago, due to the fact of him being bullied in school. And we have no idea what our negative attitude, and that's what it is, it's a negative attitude, can cause people to take their own life. That also tells you the people that have that type of an attitude need help as well. There's no reason for people to go around bullying each other. And it's unfortunate that takes place. I read the actual story of the mother today that was really heartbreaking. And towards the end of it, she said, I planned on spending the rest of my life with you. Instead, you spent the rest of your life with me." And I looked at those words and I was like, wow, what a statement. At the age of 12, to take his own life. We don't know what people battle. We have no idea. He basically came home. They've actually talked to him on several different occasions about suicide. And in their conversations, he would kind of be upset with them for asking, "Why are you even asking this question?" And the reason is because they've seen some changes in him. So 8 days ago, he came home. He says, "Mom, Dad, can I stay home from basketball practice?" And they allowed him to stay home, and that's where he ended up trying to take his own life, and his sisters ended up finding him, I believe, somewhere in the house. Didn't die right away, but he actually died the next day in the hospital in the arms of his mom and dad. And it's such a sad way to go. It's a very serious subject that we're dealing with. A lot of us folks in here, let's be honest, we've had those thoughts. Whether we've acted upon it or not, we've had those thoughts. And I'm going to read something here as soon as I get done with scripture, some things that are going on in America, a study that has been done through adults. It will astound you. Before I get going on any further, I begin to think of people that I might have known or that you might have known that have done this. But it was not only a couple of years ago that we had a young boy that used to go to this school who lived a block away from you, Julie and Charlie, committed suicide in his driveway. And Grandma ended up, I believe, seeing everything. And what a sad, sad, sad way to go. I say this for a reason. Why does this take place? Well, people need to feel loved. That's very true. But can we help stop it? Most definitely. Well, how can we help stop it? I'm going to say this. By showing them Jesus Christ. Showing them Jesus Christ. You know what's wrong with us today? I'm going to be flat out honest. We're selective on who we show Christ to. We want to show Christ to some people that we love, but there's some people that we don't really care about that we don't want to show them Christ. And we can be a big impact in their lives. So I'm really taking this very serious. I think about it quite often, and because you know what we're going through, just seeing how people struggle in life. We can be a help to them, and we can show them Jesus Christ. We're going to read tonight in the book of Judges, chapter 9. I told you this morning that we're in the book of Judges tonight, and I did not want to lie. I took you to the book of Joshua while I was in Judges, but anyway, I can't get my story straight. Book of Judges, chapter 9, and we're going to read down, we're going to start in verse number 34. We're going to read to pretty close to the end of the chapter. Okay, it says, And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against him, Shechem in four companies, and Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering in of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him, from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains." And Zebul said unto them, "Thou seest the shadow of the mountains, as if they were men." And Gaal spake again and said, "See, there come people down by the middle land, and another company come along by the plain of..." Then said Zebul unto him, "Where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidest, who is Abimelech?" I can't even say this now. "Abimelech, that we should serve him, is not this the people thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with him." And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Aroer, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech, and he took the people, and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was there, and he beat down the city and sowed it with salt. Can you see the picture here that Abimelech was a mighty warrior whom people feared? I want to point that out. Verse number 46, it says, "And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that they entered into and hold of the house of the god Bareth, and it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech gathered him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulder, and said unto the people that were with him, 'What have ye seen me do? Make haste and do as I have done.' And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow, and followed Abimelech, and put them to the hold, and set the hold on fire upon them. So all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and the camp against Thebez and took it." When I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to God about these names. I did not realize how much of a tongue twister I was going to be dealing with tonight, especially when I got a dry mouth. Verse number 51, it says, "But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire." I want you to see something, these next two verses here. "And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor bearer, and said unto him, 'Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him.' And his young man thrust him through, and he died." Here is what you see, what we might have been very familiar with in the last 20 years, and we all know of a man by the name of Dr. Kevorkian. Dr. Kevorkian was a man who was very famous towards the end of his life by helping people with assisted suicide. This is exactly what was taking place in the life of him. Abimelech, you got the picture. This is exactly what was taking place. And we're going to explain why this took place a little bit later on. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to gather here again tonight. God, I pray that you just again use me to speak to your people. Guide me through your word. Again, bestow your wisdom upon me as I desperately need it. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. I'm going to pull something up on my phone, and I'm going to begin to read some stuff to you. Some things might astound you when it comes to suicide rates, particularly. I'm just dealing with America here tonight. Suicide rates increased 33% between the year of 1999 and 2019, with a small decline, just a small decline, in 2019. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. I want you to listen to this number. It was responsible for more than 47,500 deaths in 2019. That's crazy. It averages out to about a death every 11 minutes. What time is it right now? 6:26. So since church has started, there has been two people, according to the stats here, that have committed suicide and went out into eternity. The sad thing about that is a few things. One, they've ended their life. Their family is now in complete shock. Two, we have no idea where they're spending eternity. Those are some sad things to think about. The number of people who think about or attempt suicide is even higher. In 2019, 12 million American adults seriously thought about suicide. This is an actual study that they have done. They interviewed these folks. 3.5 million planned a suicide attempt. And 1.4 million attempted suicide. A stat that I have not read to you is this. Not every suicide is successful. There are some people, you folks have read stories, where some people have shot themselves in the face, and they still end up surviving, and they deal with horrible pain for the rest of their life. Suicide will affect all ages. It is the second leading cause of death for people between the ages of 10 to 34. The fourth leading cause among people in the age group of 35 to 44. And it's the fifth leading cause among people the ages of 45 through 54. That's my age bracket. And that's the last age bracket that will give. And I believe suicide is higher between 55 and 75 as well, because of the elderly people who deal with chronic pain are tired of living in those situations, and they contemplate and they end up taking their own lives as well. If it's not with themselves, it'll be assisted with physicians like Dr. Kevorkian that will help in those suicide attempts, which is very sad. It's also very high between the gay and lesbian community. I want you to think about this for a reason. Why does that take place? I believe it takes place for a lot of reasons, and I'm just going to give you one. Maybe they're not shame exactly, and guilt. I've actually heard, I've read some stories, most people, when they're in this lifestyle, live in such guilt. I've read some stories that will astound you. So, they are attempted, they have a high rate in suicide as well. I'm going to give you some other things before we continue to go on here. Suicide attempts, it causes serious emotional, physical, and economic impacts. This is something that I never thought about. And this might surprise you, this might not surprise you. People who attempt suicide and survive may experience serious injuries that can have long-term effects on their health. They may also experience depression and other mental health concerns. The good news is that more than 90% of people who attempt suicide and survive never go on to die by suicide. That's encouraging. Suicide and suicide attempts affect the health and well-being of friends, loved ones, co-workers, and the community. I'll never forget, it's been about 10 years ago, a gentleman that I worked with who I came to know quite well, because the first 6-8 months of my life on the job, I spent a lot of time with him. He was an elderly man, and he had when I say elderly, he was a few years older than me. So I'm not saying that he was old by any means. But anyway, he had a son. His son was troubled at the time. He was not aware of it. And just one day out of nowhere, our coworker woke up with a phone call from the state police saying, "We have found your son who has jumped from the Mormon Bridge." Imagine waking up with some devastating news like that. I've watched this man who was once an alcoholic turned right back to being an alcoholic because he could not live with the thought of his son being gone. It takes away somebody's health. It takes away somebody's well-being as well. So here are some things. When people die by suicide, their surviving family and friends, here's what happens. They experience shock. They experience anger. They experience guilt. They'll have symptoms of depression or anxiety, which is why I'm bringing this up. When you come across with somebody, especially when you're talking to a younger person, and they say they're depressed, don't just say, "Oh, they're young, they'll get over it." Really use some discernment in that area and reach out to them. Let them know that you're going to be a help to them. It's important for us to do those things. So depression, anxiety, and may even experience thoughts of suicide themselves. Here's what astounded me on this. The financial toll of suicide on society is also costly. I never thought about this. Suicide and suicide attempts cost the nation, our nation, over $70 billion per year in lifetime medical and also work loss costs as well. $70 billion. It goes to show you that many people, as we have just read here, have thought about taking their own lives. Here we just read a story of a man that was, when you think about it, he was a warrior, one who people would fear. Also, at the same time, it would be a man that you would want to have on your side, knowing that you got this warrior-like individual. You have this sense of security about you. You'll go into battle knowing that he's going to do everything that he can to protect you. Because of this reason, he's fighting alongside with you. I say this for a reason, because in our time and in our era, our higher ups, they do not go out into the battlefield. They might have seen battle at some point in time of their life, but now our higher-ups, they're very well protected. They try not to put themselves in harm's way. If you see a convoy of soldiers, you'll never see the leader in the front. You'll see them somewhere between the middle and the back. You'll never see them in the front. And they do that for a reason, because they're leaders. They want to protect them. They're valuable to them. But back in this time frame, they were men that would go out and they would actually do the fighting as well. They would come up with a game plan to, as they begin to go into the cities and begin to finalize their attacks, they would come with, up with every scenario to be able to be victorious in their battle that they're about to take place. And honestly, if this was me in this time of era, I'd be fearful of being in anybody else's army at this point in time. I was like, yeah, I see what this guy's doing. He was a very well taken care of war individual. But he struggled with something that brought him to the end of his life. And it's something that we all struggle with in here tonight. I want you to read this verse with me again in chapter number 9. Verse number 52, it says, "And came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard into the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. This woman's here, she's never been given a name. The Bible says a certain woman. A certain woman came about and cast a millstone about his neck. Here's the interesting thing. This man, who has been victorious in many battles, has now come, think about this, has come captive to this woman. Now, this woman can put an end to his terror upon all these other armies that are out there that they're going up against. But he wasn't going to have a part in it. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to have this woman take me out. You know what took place in his life? Was pride. Pride caused him to take his own life or have somebody take his life for him. You know, I've never really thought about pride being an issue for men and women to allow themselves to take their own life. But that is exactly what has happened here. Pride ruins a lot of things. A lot of us in here are proud of our accomplishments. A lot of us in here are proud of what we've achieved in life. But let me remind you, we have what we have. We're able to do all because of God. That's why we have these things. That's why we're able to do these things. So this man here decided to have somebody in his life because he couldn't stand the fact that a woman was about to be victorious in him. What a sad way to go. We all battle these things. Pride. Pride took an individual out. I begin to think about this as I begin to read a lot of stories. And I begin to think, well, maybe this really has a lot to do with everybody's suicide. When you begin to think about this. Pride is a big issue in a lot of these lives. Well, I don't want to go to school because I might get bullied. And that takes place. And they don't want to walk around and show that they've been bullied and show that they have a weak side to them, letting people know that they're easily being able to pick upon. And that plays through my mind. I also read a story here earlier this week, and I hope I get it right. There is a young man. He's about the age of 11. His dad was in the military. His dad was up there in the ranks. I don't know exactly where his ranks was at. Very intelligent man. His dad ended up having a stroke. He survived the stroke, but it took away a lot of his capabilities. And he was no longer able to do the things that he was able to do. So his mom and this young man began to really become the caretakers for this man. During this process, he had to give up a lot of his activities that he was used to doing as a young lad. Through this, he would become ridiculed. People would make fun of him, classmates, all those things that he enjoyed being around. Eventually ended up being the ones that would cause him to be made fun of. And he said this as I'm reading this letter. He says, I wanted to take my life because I was a proud young person. I didn't want to have these things affecting me. I didn't want to be made fun of anymore. And I wanted to end my life. Thankfully, though, through this process, somebody saw the changes in this young man and began to talk to him and began to encourage him. And eventually, obviously, he did not commit suicide. But he said pride played a big part in this. The story doesn't end there. His father ended up passing away 11 years after the accident while he was in college. And shortly after the passing of his dad with the illness that he's had, his mom came down with cancer. And within 2 to 3 months of his mom coming down with cancer, she passed away. Within 12 years of this man's life, a lot of things have happened. He lost his mom and he lost his dad. He began to go on. He said, you know, when I lost my mom, I never, ever contemplated about taking my life again. Because through the first process, I was able to be helped with my pride. And here I am able to write this story and tell people, hey, there is help that is out there. You need to take that help. And it simply amazes me what our pride will cause us to do. Our pride will keep us at home. Our pride will cause us not to talk to some of our family members. Our pride will cause us not to witness to certain people in our area. Our pride will cause us not to show Christ to people who need Christ. Those are just some examples. And yet, as we read here in Scripture, our pride, and I know that's not everybody, but our pride at times can get people so down that they end up taking their own life. What a sad place to be in. So how can we help? Well, by this. By showing them the love of Jesus Christ. Letting them know that their life is valuable. So often as we begin to hear these stories, we often talk to ourselves. We say, man, what if someone would just reached out to that individual, life could have been totally different. Folks, we can't live a life on what ifs. We have to live a life on reacting to people when we see them hurting. When we see things going on, put your pride aside. I say it as serious as I can be. Put your pride aside. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop being so self-centered. Stop being so selfish. And lend a hand to somebody who is in need. There's a world of people out there that are hurting. We see a lot of the physical pain, but we don't see a lot of the emotional pain. Yeah, we can read body languages at times, but there are so many things that we miss out on. And we can be a help to folks who need help. Pride was the fall of this man's life. And I'd hate for that to be somebody's excuse as they leave this world or try to leave this world. So let's do what we can on our part to be a help to individuals.